Welcome to the Heavens Devils podcast, a Forest Green Rovers podcast by two Americans who don't know what they're talking about. My name is Nathan. This is Sean.
Heavens Devils podcast. 17. No longer associated with my favorite periodical in high school about cute hairstyles, celeb news, fun quizzes, beauty advice, and teen fashion, 17 Magazine. But now FGR's undefeated streak etched in my memory and in my heart.
Let's go, Shimmy. I love that. Oh, shout out to 17.
17 Magazine.
Does that magazine still exist?
I don't know. I don't know if it does. It exists in my heart. And on the internet, so that's all that matters.
I love that. I don't know if it exists in the UK either, but shout out to 17, both the periodical and our unbeaten streak.
I got to close the window before I record because New York don't know how to be quiet.
Shimmy! We're here, baby. Thank you all for listening to us. Thank you for making us part of your day. You can do anything with your time. You chose to waste it with us, and we are so grateful for that. I am joined by my friend, my neighbor, my colleague, my couple's yoga partner, your favorite rapper's favorite rapper, a gentleman in the streets, Mookie Blaylock in the streets, in the sheets. Your favorite Shimmy God, Sham God, the Indian Allen Iverson, Young Dawaba Deli, the Champagne Poppy of Chennai. I hope you're from Chennai. He's like Maddie Stevens, the way he taps home jokes. The Mukundan one, the Warden of Wordle, the Shamir Mullins of podcasting, Sham of the Dead, Sham Hannity, Sham Paul. He's got the right temperature to shelter you from the storm. Shimmy, Cake, Shambo, Sham Prasad, Sham God, Sham. How we feeling, brother?
Wow, I mean, honored now that I've gotten the Nathan intro treatment. That was incredible. I like that. I like the Indian AI. The IAI. I like that.
Yeah. You're from Chennai, right? Did I get that right? I don't know if that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah. My family's from Chennai. I was born there before we came to the U.S. And you know, I really appreciate the Allen Iverson shout out because anytime you're like, hey, should we prepare for this podcast? And all my answer was like, you want to practice this podcast? Talking about practice. Talking about practice.
Oh, I love it.
Not the podcast, not the recording. Practice. And that's my answer every time.
So
I think it's fitting.
And everyone, it's obvious by the quality of content in this, or lack thereof.
Yeah, that's how we love it.
We don't practice.
We do not. We do not. I have to say, I don't think I've earned the Sham Hannity nickname there. That one I'm not so good with. We're only on episode 52, Nathan. Only on episode 52. Joe Rogan has had more episodes removed for racial epithets and racist slurs than we've recorded. So we got a long way to go on that one.
I love it. I love it, Shimmy Cakes. All right. Well, Shimmy, what a run by the boys in Verde. You speak Spanish. Prasinos if you speak Greek. Junte. If something like that. If you speak Dutch, shout out to Roderick.
Or shout out to those in Chennai. Pacha. Pacha is green.
Pacha in Chennai. Let's go. Grün, if you're in Germany. I have no idea how Shayazi would say it because Google Translate doesn't have a listen to pronunciation option for Hebrew, but however you say it in Hebrew, the boys in green, Shimmy, are doing their thing. They have now battled three of the top table, whatever, promotion contenders, and they've come out of it with 7 points, a goal difference of six. Could have been way, way more than six, too. Shimmy, this is a ridiculous team, and we will get into all that in just a minute, but first, let's talk about what's happened on the show. We have a fun, quick, snappy show today, and every time I say that, it ends up being more than an hour, so it probably will end up being more than an hour. But I think it's going to be short, but probably not. We will talk the Newport County match. We will talk FGR news. We will talk the FGR women. We will talk, we'll get you ready for Rochdale, even though we know nothing about Rochdale, on Tuesday. And then on Saturday, Shimmy, third place, Sutton United. They don't come to town. We go to their town. We go to old London town.
From Gander Green Lane.
So we talk with... That's right. We go to Gander Green Lane, home of Jenny the Giraffe. And Dan from the People's Republic of Sutton, from the Gandermonium blog. He fights the good fight against watching football sober. A fun chat with him. We do a fashion police with him. Super interesting stories behind these kits, actually. I wish we would have known the story before he rated them, because Dan enlightens us. These are awesome kits. After hearing the story behind all of them, I love it. But anyway, Shimmy Bop, a lot to get into. Let's try to make this under an hour. We'll see if we can do that. Saturday, Shimmy, the Rovers took on Newport County, second in the XG table, third in the league table. at the time of the match, and we smoked them like a pack of Newport's, Shimmy.
We do. Unbelievable game. That sweet menthol flavor came through on Saturday. Can we say that?
It's a kids or a family show. Family show. Yeah. Don't smoke cigarettes. But if you do, I don't know what do we say there.
If you do, don't
be like Luke McGee. Smoke them and look cool like Luke McGee.
Yeah,
does.
Luke McGee sort of has like the Marlboro Man kind of thing. You know, stick a 10-gallon hat on him and goal. And
he does.
You know, he has that sort
of rugged
thing.
I was going the Cool Hand Luke. You're right. I was going the Cool Hand Luke vibe because that, you know, that's his famous like the movie. With Paul Newman, he's like smoking cigarettes with his shirt open. He looks really cool. But you're right. He does kind of look like the Marlboro Man, yeah. Like a young Marlboro Man. If you put it, yeah.
Yeah,
like
he's
that.
The goal no-no man.
Let's go. The Marlboro Man, the goal man. That is a stretch, and I love it. I'm here for it, Shimmy.
Hey, you see, you said I'm everybody's favorite yoga partner, so I had to stretch that one out.
You said, I said you're my favorite yoga partner. I don't know. Who you're doing yoga with other people behind my back?
No. No, let's move on.
Wow. all right. Well, so anyway, let's talk about the match. If you missed it, like I did. Well, I missed half of it due to my robotics competition, which, by the way, shout out to them. Shout out to my kids, man. Awesome. They made it to the city qualifiers on Saturday. Just a scrappy group of tough geniuses, little wizards from the South Bronx. They're just like Forest Green, a little scrappy team.
Making,
you know,
robots
punching
out of
above
tin
the
pots, right?
That's right, making robots out of tin pots, just like Forest Green. A tin pot club and a tin pot robotics team. From the awesome story, our kids, man, they're awesome. They come from the poorest congressional district in the country. They come from a small public school, and they went to battle against some of the richest schools in the city. Not just the city, the richest schools in the country. Private schools, specialized schools. And Shimmy, they whooped them. They whooped them. 24 teams as qualifier. 5 teams qualify for city championships, and these little scrappy underdogs made it. They ate Shimmy. It was awesome. Just like Forest Green Rovers, man. They made it to city finals. Hopefully they'll go to world finals. We'll see. But, man, awesome. Awesome time. So I was there at the robotics competition. It was such a great day. But I got to watch the first half of the game because there was, like, kind of a lull in the robotics action. There was, like, a break. Mm-hmm. So I was watching it on my phone with my guy Perez. I'm not going to say his first name for whatever, identity reasons. But you know Perez, right?
Yeah, I do.
GP?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyway.
Big footy fan himself, so.
He's a huge soccer fan. He's a big soccer player as well. So he kind of watched a little bit with me in the first half. So shout out to him. I'm doing my job of indoctrinating the youth, bringing them to the Forest Green Rovers. But anyway.
Well, hey, just a quick congrats, man. Just excellent job to the students of the club and to you, man, as their coach. I know you don't do it alone. Man, you love to hear it and you love to see it. And good luck at the city finals. It's going to be awesome.
Thank you, Shimmy. I can't wait. March 6th, baby. It's a Sunday, so I won't miss any Forest Green Rovers games thanks to it. But yeah, it was awesome, man. It was such a fun day. It was like, anyway, it was so much fun. And then also Forest Green Rovers got the 3 points. So let's get back to Forest Green Rovers. Let's talk about this match. Crazy match. So we go against Newport County, Shimmy. We go against Newport County on Saturday. A mighty team.
Yes.
The team that broke our hearts, destroyed our dreams last season in the dramatic, which is an understatement, the dramatic semifinal playoff second leg. A team that is full of stars, the number one goal scorer in League 2, the third best team in League 2 by the table at the time, the second best team in XGs, the best team in form in League 2, and the best attack in League 2 after us. And we just worked them, Shimmy. Mm. We worked them. Like we said, smoked them like a pack of Newports. Wasn't even close. Absolute domination. The People's Champ, Maddie Stevens, scored 2 goals to extend our unbeaten streak to 17. Shout out to the magazine that you mentioned at the beginning. Cushy gave us a cushy, nice little comfortable 10-point lead at the top of the Sky Bet League 2. Goals in each half saw the People's Champ take his goal tally to 19 league goals thanks to a pair of beautiful Big Daddy Kane Wagamama Wonder Wilson assist. He's the best wingback in England, Shimmy.
Oh, yeah.
Fun, crazy, fast opening. It was Rovers who got the first opportunity. Stevens misdirecting a header from a Nicky Cadden cross. County responded with a Liverpool loanee, Jake Little Daddy Kane, who sent a corner into the head of Courtney Baker Richardson. But Cool Hand Luke McGee does what Cool Hand Luke McGee does, and that's look really cool while smoking cigarettes with his shirt open. That's refusing to submit to the American incarceration system, and keeping clean sheets, Shimmy.
Mm-hmm.
The guys in green, broke the deadlock after 33 minutes when Big Daddy Kane Wilson collected the ball in his own half and danced up the sideline in the Newport box, did all the work, flicked the ball to Matty Stevens, the people's champ, who put it home, and I went absolutely crazy, Shimmy. I went crazy. My kids thought I was crazy because I started yelling and screaming at the robotics competition. Actually, it wasn't just Mike. Everyone at the robotics competition thought I was crazy. And I was, Shimmy. I was crazy. Four goals crazy for Matty Stevens.
Who wouldn't be?
Anyway, what's
who
that?
Who wouldn't be?
Who wouldn't be? And then I thought we were about to have two right off that because the Scottish Black Jack Acheson did what he does best, call hit on 17, and also steal the ball from Newport Scott Bennett, broke free for a clear chance on goal, but it was saved, unfortunately. And then the second half made a fully charged electric start to the second half. Wagamon Wonder Kane Wilson stood the ball up for Matty Stevens, but it was saved, but... Never to be in doubt, Shimmy, the Wilson-Stevens combination broke through again as Wilson's little chip shot, little dinky dink, cross, found the head of the people's champ, Matty Stevens, who made up for his missed header in the first half, buried his second goal of the game after 61 minutes, 19th goal of the season for the people's champ. we had a few more chances after that. Tongue twister there, Shimmy.
Yeah, people probably thought he was, you know, we know Mark Cooper thought Matty Stevens was the people's chancer. But he's proven this year he's the people's champ. The goals speak volumes.
Let's go, Shimmy. That's what I'm talking about right there. That's what I'm talking about. So you tapping, Shimmy. Love it. All right, anyway. Had a few more chances. Overall, though, just a dominating performance. We could have had more than two goals. We had 10 shots on goal in this one. Score could have been way worse, but we kept a clean sheet. Another like highlight of this is we kept a clean sheet against the best attack in League 2 after us and the number one goal scorer in League 2. Unbelievable, Shimmy. Thoughts on this one?
Yeah, man, you said it. Like, was really looking forward to it, especially after our preview last week with the XGs that both teams were bringing into it. We thought it was going to be really highly contested. But, man, was just surprised at how comfortable we were all match. We pretty much dominated. You know, we had a few moments where we thought, okay, you know, we haven't taken advantage. Like you said, the Aegis and breakaway or Matty Stevens, you know, heading directly into the palms of the keeper. But man, that two-man game just was intense. You know, I gotta say, there's one Kane that ruled yesterday, and it had to be Big Daddy, the smooth operator.
Yes.
His crosses.
Yes.
Even though Newport County had their own Kane, they were not able to
slay us.
Little Daddy Kane. They were not able to slay us. You know what
nice.
I mean?
Nice.
But no, man. It was just a great match. And even in that second half, that flurry.
Hang on, Shimmy. That was so good. Even though they had a cane, they were not able to slay us. That was so good. I had to stop to recognize that. Well done, Shimmy.
I appreciate. We are recording on a Sunday, so we had to take it biblical there. But
let's go.
But no, it was just an incredible match, and we had it in control. I was a bit worried at the end. I was like, you know, I think I was having flashbacks. I was kind of like to the playoff semifinal where it's just our hearts were broken so late. But man, it was just great to see that we saw it out. Kept the clean sheet, even though Matty Stevens didn't get the hat trick, which he so richly deserved. Man, he was just player of the match for me. Incredible.
Well, good. I was going to ask you, who's the player of the match? Wait, who'd you just say? You said Matty Stevens?
It has to be, man. It's just like that story.
Well, I disagree with you.
Okay, fair enough.
But,
and I know he was not the official player of the match either, and he wasn't the man of the match, but just for me, just the story, the arc has been incredible for
me. 100%, man. That's why he's the people's champ. Everyone loves this man. I love him too, man. Matty Stevens made me yell, made me look like an idiot at the robotics competition, but I didn't care. I love that man. And he's in my three stars of the week. He's not my number one star, though. Who's your three stars going to the hockey?
Three stars. And
Who's the third star?
So the third star has got to give it up to Ibu Adams, who was the man of the match, I believe, right? It was announced over the PA.
Yes. Gambia.
Yeah, Gambia.
Straight back.
Yeah.
Welcome home.
Yeah, oh, welcome home. I mean, man, just his week as well, flying in and taking a card directly, you know, up during midweek, right, to make it to the match, putting in, just being everywhere on the pitch against Newport yesterday. Just man, this guy has like no tiredness nor fatigue in him. He's ready to go at all times. You can find him anywhere on the pitch. So Ibu Adams just richly deserved man of the match, I thought. So he's one of my three stars too.
100% agree. Who's your second star?
It's got to be Kane Wilson, man. The two-man game. Of course, you know, it always feels bad because we are such a cohesive team. like everyone from JMT, who's been rock solid the entire season. You know, Cooley Bailey, who's come up with some great headers, who attacks balls that come in from Cadden and Kane. Cads and Kane. It's just like, man, who pick anyone, but those three especially shined for me this week.
I love that, Shimmy. Well, my three are the same, but a different order. I love that, though, Shimmy. So I only watched one half, but I saw the highlights of the second. And even if I'm ill-informed, if I have I have no information, that has not stopped me from having opinions before. So I'm going to go, Shimmy. Third star, I got to go. I'm going to go with Ibu Adams, just like you did. And probably if I knew more about football, he'd probably be number one because he probably does all the stuff that we don't see. But, man, just the back, like you said, back from the Gambia, the battery never runs out. High energy, he'll do anything for the team, anything for the club. Incredible guy, controlling the play as well. So welcome home, Ibu. You're my third star. But if I were smart, if I understood football, you'd probably be the first star because I think that's what smart people would say. But we're not smart, Shimmy. No. We're here for goals, Shimmy. We only know about
we
goals.
We want them goals, man.
We want them goals. That's what is being good is meaning anyway. So that means my second star is Maddie, the goal-scoring goal man, the people's champ. Maddie Stevens, my second star, just scoring goals for fun. He had that header in the beginning that he missed, but he made up for it. Just a great little tap-in after the Kane run, and then his header. The second header that went in was unbelievable. And then my first star, my man of the match. Who else, Shimmy? Who else? So many ridiculous runs and passes and nutmegs. The Wagamama Wonder. The smooth operator. Big Daddy Kane Wilson.
Oh, and you're not just saying that because you want free meals from Wagamama, right? You're not just saying that to try to angle for that big coupon, the VIP status. You really believe in this man.
Well, can't both be true?
I respect it, man. I respect the hustle, and you got to respect Kane's hustle as well. Just so good.
Yes. Yes. Oh, my God. He's the best wing back in League 2. He's the best wing back in England, Shimmy. This guy is amazing, and I want to talk about that in a second because I cannot believe he did not leave in the transfer window, so we'll talk about that in a second.
Thank God he didn't.
But yes, thank God he didn't. Oh, my. He's unbelievable. Well, whatever. We'll talk about him in a second with the transfer window stuff. But just unbelievable game. And then, of course, there's so many people who play great in this because we kept a clean sheet. I mean, we cannot like discount what our defense did because we kept a clean sheet against the best attack in the league too. After us, of course, and we shut down Dom Telford. We shut him down. He was awful. It was unbelievable, and he's not an awful player. He's an amazing player.
Hey, he looked awful. Yeah, he kind of terrorized us last season too, right?
Yeah. And he looked awful against this team, and that's just a testament to Rob and Richie for their organization, their game plan, and this defense. Cooley Bailey Cargill, Dokes, the Nigerian nightmare. And then, of course, we had two other defenders come on, Dan Sweeney and Dom Bernard. I don't know if you want to call Dom Bernard a defender or a striker, but Dom Bernard also came on, so he shorted up. And then, of course, JMT in the middle and Luke McGee. So big shout out to the defense, too, man. Just shut these guys down. We're unbelievable, Shimmy. And on that note, our guy, Laurie Martin. Laurie, the Laurie.
I like to call him the dump truck of data.
The dump truck of data, Shimmy.
It brings out that stat that just warms your heart and lets you know that we're firing on all cylinders and doing big things.
And not even that stat. He brings out like 20 stats a game that make you feel that way. Right. If you don't follow, what are you doing? If you don't follow Laurie Martin, what are you doing in your life? You need to follow this man on Twitter. He's an unbelievable work. So anyway, our friend Laurie Martin, he says you have to. Well, no. First, let's talk about the defense here. So he dropped some binary on us. So shout out to my my robotics team, Laurie, the Laurie of stats, and fellow robot dropped some binary on us with a bunch of ones and zeros in a tweet, pointing out that we haven't conceded more than one goal per match in any match since October 16th. It's like 0-1-1-0-0-0-1-1-1-0-0, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Except for one time, Oldham Athletic, which was 5-5.
That was crazy. That's the wild match. You're painting it like Laurie is like Neo from The Matrix. Like when he sees four screen overs, he just sees the zeros and ones and
yes,
lets us know.
Yes. Oh, Shimmy, we need to. Even though this tweet was from yesterday, I'm gonna tweet that little That's going out right now. Anyway, so unbelievable, unbelievable. And another great point by Laurie is he says you have to beat the best to be the best. And this season, the Rovers have beat second place, third place, fourth place, fifth place. We got another opportunity on Saturday to beat another third place team. Like they've done it at the highest level, and it's not even been close. Tranmere just crushed them.
Oh, yeah.
Newport County crushed them. Like, it wasn't even close. We don't even look like we belong in the same league. That's because we don't belong in the same league, Shimmy. We belong in League One. We're going there. I'm like, I have no doubt in my mind, Shimmy. And then actually, and here's another stat from Lori. Lori the Lori. The dump truck of stats.
The dump truck of data.
Forest Green are... Dump truck of data, sorry, yeah. The Lori of stats. Dump truck of data. Forest Green Rovers are only one goal away from equalizing last season's goals scored tally.
Wow.
And it's only February.
The beginning
Shimmy,
of February, too. This is wild.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, from our resident stat man, Chris Statman Latham. Resident stat man and also third backup, whatever, goalkeeper for the Forest Green Rovers. He tweets, warning sign, mad attack, warning sign, one more goal for Jamma, and he equals FGR's all-time EFL goal scored record. One more goal for Matty Stevens, and he equals the most goals in a single EFL season for the Forest Green Rovers. What a pairing, 36 league goals in this campaign from 28 games. By the way, that's more than, like, most teams in League 2. Just incredible. It is incredible, Shimmy. Yeah. It is incredible.
My mind's blown at how just this team has been performing this season. Wild.
This team is so dang good, Shimmy. And it's so good. We're just firing on all cylinders. Rob Edwards has a beard, looking handsome as ever. Shimmy.
It's crazy. And, I saw Billy Hunt, you know, saying, hey, we gotta erect a statue of this guy. Like, any statue
builders
out there.
Build a wooden statue of this man.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Well, hey, anyway, even more than that, let's enact some statutes, because it should be illegal to be so handsome. Rob Edwards, you have no right. You have no right.
Let's go. Oh my God. So let's talk transfers real quick. So there were none. Well, I mean, we brought in. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, we brought in Casey McAteer.
Right, from Leicester City.
On loan, which we talked about last week, which is incredible. But nobody left, and I just can't believe it. It's unbelievable. Like, how do you look at Kane Wilson? How do you look at Nicky Cadden? How do you look at Ibu Adams? And not JMT, Luke McGee. Like, how do you look at these guys and not say, like, I'm going to give this guy the world. We need him on the team. This guy's good at football. He's going to change our team. How are you a championship team not doing that? I can't, or a League One team. I can't imagine that offers didn't come in. They had to have. And it's just a huge testament to the character of this team, to these individuals like Kane, like Nicky, like Ibu, who I have to imagine. I mean, we're purely speculating here. Mm-hmm. We have no idea, but it just, there's no way they didn't get offers.
Right.
They're so good. Like, how could you not offer them a transfer? Anyway, and so it's a testament to them that they wanted to stay and see this season out and be with this team and help get us promoted. I'm just blown away. And it's also a shout out to Richard Hughes and this and Dale Vince and everybody, this family that they created that nobody wants to leave. Nobody wants to take the money, take the paycheck, take the – like, it's unbelievable, Shimmy. I cannot believe it.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, like, you said it perfectly. There's belief in this project, right? Belief in the progress of the club, and enough to, again, like you said, probably withstand some of the offers, some of the money that was on offer for these really talented players of all ages, right? Super young players, players reaching their peak like Ibu Adams at the age of 26, going on 27. It's awesome that they've committed to this season. We were able to hold on to everyone. The club, like I said, Richard Hughes and the coaching staff were convincing enough to say, hey, let's do this together. And man, I'm here for it. I can't wait to celebrate. I know it's still early February and maybe a little premature, but
can't celebrate yet.
We cannot do it, but man, it just every week that passes and every final score that we see, that feeling just gets stronger and stronger, and it's just awesome, man. We need the season to be like the feather in the cap of these players in this club. So
yes.
Looking forward to it.
However, well, at this rate, though, Shimmy, by the time we get there in April, like, we'll have long won the league. Yeah. And it'll just be, I guess it'll be fine. It'll just be a party. There
yeah,
won't be anything
I'm
on the
looking
line,
forward
but.
To seeing how much ground a drunk Ebo Adams covers. Actually, I don't know. I don't know if he drinks. I know a lot of our players are like, you know, either for religious reasons or for fitness reasons, probably do not partake. But I can always imagine that. I would love to see the drunk version of this club.
Still
eke out a draw. You know, still eke out a draw.
I think Dan Sweeney could go out. A little inebriated. Although he's like the number one fitness guy, so who knows? Yeah. But come on, we just won the league, Dan. You gotta throw a few back. Anyway, all right, let's move on to the women really quick, and then we'll get on to what are we getting on to? Rochdale, Fashion Police, and Sutton. So FGR women, the ladies went down to Torquay. How do you pronounce it? Torquay?
It's Torquay.
Torquay? Torquay. Anyway, down south to Torquay. And a long trip for them. Super long trip. We saw the return of Beck Pan. Rebecca Paniers, who was out last week, causing Dim Shady, actually, to go into goal. Rosie Dimery, who's not a goalkeeper, but she was in goal, saving, making saves.
Pulled off a draw in that match, too, where she was in goal, right? Where Dim Shady was in goal.
Yes. And also, we saw the return of the hat attack, Shimmy. The hat attack. Ooh. We got the mat attack on the men's
Ooh.
Side. We got the hat attack
I love that.
On the women's side. Hattie Jones was back in the lineup. So great to see that. Unfortunately, the ladies took the L, lost 1-0. But hey, it's a tough play. You know, it's tough to go on these long road trips on a Sunday, and they lost 1-0. It's close. I mean, they kept it close. But yeah, it's gonna happen. I mean, they've jumped up these leagues. They're playing against this crazy competition. They're holding their own. So huge respect to the women's
yes,
team. Keep fighting, man. We'll be back next week, and it's great to see that Beck Pan's back and the hat attack. Hattie Jones is back. Let's go. We gotta come up with something with Charlie as well. Anyway, we'll figure that out.
We know she's Destiny's child. She's always destined to score. But we gotta come up with something else too.
Oh, always destined to score. I love that. Oh, Shimmy. All right, well, we have a huge, huge match against Sutton. And in a moment, we will talk with Dan from the Gandermonium blog. But first, we have Rochdale on Tuesday. I don't know anything about Rochdale. Do you?
I do not. I thought those are the candies, the chocolates, and like the little, you know, golden foil clubs. That's what I thought. Like, is that where they come from originally? The Ferrero Rochdales? Is that what it is? Ferrero Rochdales?
No. It'd be great because this could be a chocolate themed episode then with Sutton United and their amber and chocolate. Anyway, I know nothing about Rochdale. I should have done some research before. Looks like based on my quick Google search, they're 18th in the table. They're a big draw team, 3 draws in a row. Nothing too impressive on the offensive side or defensive side. Yeah, I don't know anything about Rochdale.
Cut back on those chocolates.
Whatever,
man.
We're gonna
cut back on those chocolates.
That's right. Cut back on the chocolates. Tuesday night we play Rochdale. We should crush them. We're going to crush them. I'm going 5-0. 3 goals for 5-0 based on absolutely nothing and no knowledge about Rochdale. But we're going 5-0. This is quality. This is the kind of quality preview you can come to expect. 5-0. 3 goals for Don Bernard.
Of course.
And then we'll get a goal for Jamma. Jamma's going to get 2. Maddie got 2 this game. It's Jamma's turn to get 2. So we got Jamma 2. 3 goals for Don Bernard, 5-0, take to the bank. What do you got, Shimmy?
You know, I think we're just going to continue to roll on. I feel like we're going to stay in the matrix. Lori's going to keep giving us those those data dumps from the data dump truck himself. but I just feel like it's going to be maybe like another 1-0, but we're going to get Jamma on the board
1-0?
Here. Yeah, I have a feeling.
1-0?
Listen, I have a feeling it's just like
this team's 18th in the table, Shimmy.
I know, but that's the thing. I feel like we've been facing such competition at the higher end of the table. I think it's going to take its toll. We may underestimate them a little bit. They may close the ranks and try to shut us down. So I feel like we squeak by. Even though they're 18th, I feel like I just feel the 1-0 coming up. But it is going to be an FGR.
Boo this man. So. Boo. Boo.
You can't boo me when I predict an
no.
FGR victory. You can't boo me when I do that. It's not allowed.
I can when it's 1-0 and we're the best team in the history of League 2. Shaking my head, Shimmy. All right, fine. 1-0.
No disagreements
we'll
here.
See
no
who's right. We'll see who's
disagreements
wrong.
On that one, just on the scoreline. So.
We'll see. We'll see who's closer. 5-0, Nathan. 1-0, Shimmy Cakes. All right, let's go on to Fashion Police and our Sutton United preview with our guy, Dan the Man from Gandermonium, a.k.a. Dandermonium. Let's go talk to Dan, and let's do a little Fashion Police. Really interesting kits here. Here we go. Boom, Dan.
One, two, three, four, tell us what we've got in store.
Angel Plastics, we've got the lots.
Oi, oi.
We go behind enemy lines and welcome to the pod from the opposition view for the greatest non-league team to ever dominate the league. Currently third of the table, unbelievable. This man fights the good fight against watching football sober, the way it should be. From the hilarious Gandermonium podcast, not a podcast, sorry, the hilarious Gandermonium blog, not a podcast, he's a blog, he's old school. Welcome. Yep. To the pod, Dan. Welcome, man. How we feeling, brother?
Not too bad. Not too bad today. Just
I should say. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, just a nice, you know, low key home game. No massive hangovers today. So.
Well,
I gotta say, love the nonchalance of being third in the table. We had a good home game. You know, third in the table. No big deal.
Should have won. Let them right off the hook at the end. Unfortunately,
yes,
that's the attitude we love. Rovers. We never predict a loss for FGR, and thankfully they've obliged us for the most part this year, except for twice. But we love that attitude.
Yeah, man. And I should say, welcome back to the pod because you were actually our first opposition view guest of the season because we played you the first match of the season. And I want to talk about that match in a minute. But first, I was doing a little research on Wikipedia here, and I found an interesting little story or connection between your club, Sutton United, and the Gambia, where our star, Ibu Adams, plays for. So apparently in the Gambia, the smallest country in Africa, there is a club called Sutton United. It used to be called Sanchaba United, I guess.
Yes.
And then an Englishman known only as Walter donated Sutton United equipment to the club and suggested they rename it to Sutton United, and they did. And so there is now a Sutton United in England and the Gambia. So is this story real? And do you know Walter? Or are you Walter?
Are you Heisenberg?
I don't think anyone ever found out who Walter was, to be honest. I know it's a genuine story. Yeah, there was apparently some expat who is from around this way who decided that, you know, this team are looking for a bit of financial assistance. So he helped them out, but said, well, look, my local team are this. If you call yourself Sutton United, I'll do it for you. So he did, and they did. They've been over a couple of times. I believe they're on hiatus at the moment just because of financial reasons. They haven't played for a season or two, but they're still running, and the guys are still in touch with the club and everything like that. So who knows? Maybe now we're a big Billy Big Bollocks side. We can maybe help them out a bit more.
That's right.
Yeah, I would love to see you guys rock the name Sanchaba United at Gander Green Lane, you know? It's for a day.
I love it. Oh, man, wild story. And shout out to Ibu Adams, who just got back from playing for the Gambia in AFCON. So we want to do a segment in just a minute called Fashion Police. But first, big shout out to you and your blog. Actually, no, we'll talk about the blog in a little bit. Let's do Fashion Police first, and then we'll get into your blog, which is very funny.
Okay.
It's such a great, like, lighthearted take on just following a football club. A very little football in your blogs. It's all about the experience, the life.
Yeah.
That's what we love. The culture, the drinking beers, having fun. Transportation mishaps, all that good stuff. Anyway, we'll get into that in a second. First, Fashion Police.
Nails, hair, hips, heels, face done, lips real, purse full, big bills. Yes, I'm a big deal.
So Dan, here's a segment where Sham and I act as police officers of fashion, and
we have to look like men of the law as well.
Oh yeah. I forgot my scarf. I forgot. We dress up for this, Dan. And
you go foot all out.
We dress up, and the funny thing is, we never release a video, so no one has actually seen our outfits. But we dress up every time. Oh, there we go. Thank you.
And that's probably to our benefit that we haven't released a video of this.
So yeah, we dress up for us. Here we go. Fashion Police.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. So Fashion Police. So we're gonna rate all three of your kits. We ask that you join us in this rating. So we will start with the home kit. The amber and chocolate, or yellow and brown, as normal people say. But in the UK, you call it amber and chocolate. I love the pretentious color naming schemes of England. So I like, what else is there? You know, the claret or whatever, burgundy or maroon.
No, it's got to be a wine. It's got to be a wine. Fine like wine.
Exactly. It's not yellow. It's amber. It's not brown. It's chocolate. I love that. So 10 out of 10 on the color. Shout out to some other great you know, American teams, University of Wyoming rocking the yellow and brown, the San Diego Padres, an Ohio high school called Kettering Altar from my old home state, the Valparaiso Beacons. So I love the color. I love the pretentious naming scheme. And because of the yellow and not the yellow and brown, sorry, the amber and chocolate, you have a badass mascot. Jenny, yes. The giraffe, such a cool mascot. So points for that. You wouldn't have that without the amber and chocolate. So the kit also, it appears to be the same kit as last year, if I'm not mistaken. So
yes, it is. Yes, yeah, so we kept the same design.
Love it. So 10 out of 10 on sustainability there. You have great colors. And with those great colors, you didn't ruin it like Port Vale did last season, or like Cambridge United did this season. You didn't mess with a good thing. You went very safe with these kits. They're kind of bland. But you're new to the football league, and I get it. You just want to play it cool. You don't want to make a big deal out of it. I appreciate that. And again, you didn't screw up a good thing. So for me, though, the big divider on this is the sponsor, Angel Plastics. And as a plastic football fan, I appreciate the representation of plastics out there for all of us plastic fans. But as a supporter of the most sustainable club in the world, I can't vibe with a plastic sponsor. So overall, a 7.4 out of 10 for me. We'll go Sham, and then we'll hear your take, Dan.
Well, all right, fellas. You know, I have to kind of echo what Nathan said a little bit. Generally speaking, from a medical point of view, if you're seeing both yellow and brown, something's wrong with you. But it works for Sutton United. And a football point of view, they won non-league last year, the National League last year. They're just flying this year in the playoff hunt.
Not in the playoff hunt. They're in the automatic promotion.
Yeah, automatic promotion, right? So, yeah, the color scheme works. And again, amber and chocolate, brilliant PR move. So I'll go with that. I'm with you, Nathan. The sustainability of Angel Plastics, I'm a little not totally on board with. Also, an interesting, and you can't blame the club for this. This is obviously the logo of Angel Plastics. But I don't quite get the PVC pipe that looks like somebody that got their legs broken, you know, like somebody that didn't pay their gambling debts or something, you know. So wasn't feeling that. But having said all that, you cannot top Sutton United's crest. Stick that crest on anything, and it's gonna make it a million times better. Love the crest. I love that they follow the Portlandia ethos of put a bird on it. I don't know if that's a macaw or a parrot on top.
I'll talk about the parrot in a little bit.
Yeah, it's brilliant. So I'm going to give it, despite the plastics, I got to ding it a little bit, but I'm going to give it 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10. All right, Dan, what do you got?
Well, I'm biased, obviously. the little story behind why we chose those colors were because they were cheap.
I love that.
That speaks to me a lot.
When the club was formed in 1898, it was a merger of two smaller local Sutton sides, and they decided, right, we need colours. Right, we're going to have, you know, we're going to stand out from the crowd, and they wanted sort of the claret and gold that sort of Bradford play in. That kind of that's what they wanted. And in those days, you didn't really play in a kit. Everyone wore a cap in your club colours. And you just wore whatever you had to sort of represent your team when you played. So they went to get a set of caps for the team. And apparently the claret and gold that they wanted was really expensive. And of course, the guys in the club at the time went, well, screw that, we're not paying that kind of money. You know, let's go for something more boring. And apparently the guy who, the company that made these, they went to get the caps made, went, well, we've got this set here that was ordered by a cricket team, and they've never come back for them. They've never paid for them, and we're stuck with them. They're like amber or gold, but it's brown. It's chocolate brown, and not the burgundy or the claret. And we obviously went, oh, so you want them off your hands? Yeah, that sounds like a bit of us.
So, I love that.
So the club, that's basically why we are amber and chocolate, because it was the cheapest option at the time.
Had I known that story, I've already given the score. I can't change it now, but I would. My hands are tied. But it would have gone up for me if I'd known that story. That's incredible.
Oh, yeah. Amber, the cheapness speaks to me on a personal level, on a totally personal level, the cheapness speaks.
The irony is, in the preceding years, that was actually one of the most expensive. No one did brown. So getting hold of actual amber and chocolate kits just became a complete nightmare for them. for the rest of our existence. It's only in the last few years, where with all the sort of onset of new technology, you can have all these bespoke kits, mate, that we're actually properly rocking the chocolate again.
I love that. I love that.
Love
what
it.
A story.
It well, also so speaks what... to it's the cheap person's ethos. It's like you try to cut one corner once and it comes back to bite you like tenfold.
Yeah,
exactly. Right. Exactly.
Oh, I love this. So amber and chocolate, the poor man's claret and gold. I love that. So what score do you give it?
Obviously the colors, I can't, you know, they're my colors. So the design's quite nice. I don't mind our shirts, quite subtle. We could have gone a bit crazier, but I like our shirts to have as much chocolate on them as possible, just because the amount of people it pisses off, it just boils.
Yeah. Also, boils also a rule of life for me with actual chocolate. All of my shirts have as much chocolate on them as possible.
People just hate, ooh, you're playing brown. And you're playing red and white. Really imaginative, lads. Well done.
Yes.
10 out of 10. Well, that focus meeting must have taken hours. I'd like to have a little bit more on there. So I'd probably go with an 8 out of 10. I quite like the design, and obviously I can't badmouth the colours.
I love
the sponsor. I can see you, bloody tree huggers with your sustainability. they're a South London firm, and they've looked after us. I will recommend to you, to sort of offset the sustainability angle, Google Angel Plastics, and I believe they've got a jingle and advert that they have on radio around here, and we obviously play before the game and at halftime, sort of over the PA, and I think you might change your opinion slightly, because it's one of those really annoying jingles that you listen to it and think, oh my god, that's crap, and then find yourself humming it on the way home.
Oh, I love it. That's definitely going to be your intro song when we
really
edit this
jaunty later. South London sort of ska knockoff. You have to hear it.
I just listened to a little piece of it. It's phenomenal. Angel Plastics Karaoke on YouTube. This is definitely what's going to play you in. This is the song that you're going to enter into. So I'm so happy you brought that up. Oh, this is excellent. man, what a story. And I agree with you. My one little gripe about it is I agree. I wish there were a little more brown on it. Also, my NFL team, the Cleveland Browns, I mean, brown is in our name. It's, you know, I love brown. I'm with you. So more brown next year. Owners of whoever you are, whoever owns Sutton United, if you're listening, more brown. All right. Yeah. Away kit. Here we go. Away kit. Dark teal and white, but absolutely no change in the kit design outside of the color, which, by the way, the third kit is so. The third kit also. This is the second kit, but the third kit is also the exact same design. Yeah, and I love that actually. I'm okay with it.
If it ain't broke, right?
That's right. I love it. It's like you just went to the manufacturer, you went to Macron, whatever, the outlet store, and you just said, "Give me 60 generic kits in just three different colors." Love that. It's a little cheap, but that's the beauty of that's the charm of
hey,
this.
We're from non-league. We've got to watch our pennies, man.
Exactly. I love that.
That's what like, non-leaguers are all about.
If any big club did this, I would, you know, tear them to shreds. But for a non-league, the little tiny Sutton United, I love that. I love it. It's part of this underdog charm, part of the story of this non-league team that's here fighting for automatic promotions. I love it. I also love the dark teal. It's unique. I don't think any other team has that. And I also love that it's relevant to the club because the little leaf things, I don't know what they are, but on your badge seem to be teal. So I love that there's a little color tie-in. Props there. That said, though, in my opinion, the crazy colors like dark teal should be reserved for the third kit. The second kit needs to have some yellow or brown, sorry, amber or chocolate in it. So some points off for that. But again, if this were a bigger club like Swindon or Bristol Rovers, I think I'd give this kit like a 2.1 out of 10. But for Sutton United, that's a 7.1 out of 10 for me. What do you got, Sean?
Yeah, you know, I'm with you. I'm okay with a bold color choice. I'm okay with an original choice. And, you know, after Dan told us about the origin of the kit and sourcing and all these things, I can't help but admire. I wish I could go back and give the home kit a higher score. But I have to admit, when I look
you
at
that though, Sham, it's already been etched in the history books.
It's in the history books. It's in the annals. We can't change it. But especially looking at the Angel Plastics logo here, I just see the pipes. I see the amber or the yellow, and I just think piss pipes. And it's like the open ends of the pipes are going over the Angel Plastics thing. I don't care how catchy their jingle is. Just terrible design on that one. Although I do like yellow and blue, that teal and like yellow combo, I think it's pretty unique and it's cool. So I do have to give this a bit lower, even though I respect the non-league hustle and sticking with it and being unique in color choice. I'm going to give this a 6 out of 10. Not feeling this one as much.
Okay. All right, Dan.
Green and white, we actually quite like. We back in our centenary year in 98, we had chocolate and amber quarters for our home kit, and our away kit was actually the same green but in the same design in quarters. And up to this season, it was that green and white quarter shirt was probably the biggest selling kit we'd ever had, which for a little side like us was ridiculous. So I think a lot of people were quite pleased to see the green and white return this year. I like the green, and we did actually play in green and white as a first choice kit. I think it was in the 30s for about a season or two. For some reason, we switched to that color, but then went back to playing in chocolate and amber for some reason. So it's got a bit of history behind it as well. So yeah, I've always liked it as an away strip since we've had it in 98. So again, I don't prefer it over the amber and chocolate because those are our colors. But I quite like it. It's definitely a 7.5 out of 10 for me.
7.5 out of 10. All right. So you and I gave a pretty good score, Sham. A little bit less, 6. All right, here we go. Last one. Third kit. Huge missed opportunity, though, on this kit by not getting your parrot from the badge involved in this kit. The parrot is so cool. I have no idea why you have a parrot on your badge. I don't think Sutton is like, pan-tropical climate where you'd find these birds. Maybe it has something to do with pirates. I don't know. But I which could also be cool. You need parrot on this kit. The third kit is your opportunity to go wild, to get crazy, to bring out insane stuff like a parrot, or maybe draft theme as well. We could go that route as well. So the colors are cool, though. That said, the colors are cool. Black and yellow is a winning combination 100% of the time, but that should be an away kit, not a third kit. Third kit needs to get crazy. You do add a little spice to this kit by having a second sponsor on the back, Gunson Heating and Plumbing Supplies. Nothing screams non-league like a local heating and plumbing store. And I love that. I absolutely adore that. I love it. I don't even care.
Nathan, I think we got to start calling the Sutton United Forest Green Rovers Clash the Gunson Grunden Derby or something.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Grunden, the whatever. The
recycling or waste
that,
people. Yeah.
Waste management. Anyway. Yeah. So I don't care that this logo, Gunson is, I don't care that it's off color. I don't care that it's a bad logo. And just generally looks horrible. It's all part of this underdog community called Sutton, and I love that. The third kit also, another amazing thing, it has all the names of the season ticket holders, the contributors, and the sponsors in charcoal gray across the back of the shirt to thank their supporters for last season. How cool is that? So the kit alone for me, 6.1 out of 10, but when you add all the context, when you add the symbolism, the story, that's an 8.4 out of 10 for me, my friends. Huge missed opportunity, though, with the parrot. You should have gone parrot-themed. It would have been a 10 out of 10 there. What do you got, Sham?
Yeah, I'm mostly with you. I kind of agree that the Gunson is a little out of place, even though it repeats sort of the colors from the away kit. Again, with the Angel Plastics yellow logo in front and then the words luxury bathroom on the back, I'm just thinking piss pipes. That's all I can think about.
Obsessed, man.
I'm obsessed. I have a problem. I think I may have a problem. I gotta go see a doctor. But, listen, it's a classic kit. It actually evokes a lot of, like, Borussia Dortmund, who I think is a great German team with great support. And they have 80,000...
Hey, what about Columbus Crew?
Yeah, they're okay. I'm from Michigan, so I can't give you too much credit there. But there you go. Columbus Crew. You see that in the U.S. as well. So great fan bases. And we know Sutton has a great fan base. So cool that they shouted them out on the back of this. That, to me, gives it at least an 8. The fact that the fans were acknowledged, and it shows how important that support has been. And I think that's what's helped propel them to this great success in League 2 this season as well. So I can't give it as much as the home kit, so I'll give this one a 7.5.
All right, 7.5. There it is. Dan the man. What do we got?
Yeah, we quite like this kit. It's, well, first time we've ever needed a third kit, which alone in itself was a bit weird. Gotta have a third one? Why? We've got two already. But so yeah, it was the idea of guy called Gareth who's done all our merchandising this year, and he's one of the guys who pops up regularly on the blog as well. He's one of the guys who I travel with a lot. So he's done a brilliant job with just the idea of getting everyone's names on the back. And it was a nice touch after the last season where we basically didn't get to see much of football. But everyone chipped in and kept the club going through the hard times of COVID and stuff like that. And it's actually been a nice... and this is now officially the best-selling kit we've ever had. It's sold loads.
Oh, wow.
Just because people who would never have bought a shirt, their name's on it, so they've picked one up, you know. And there's whole families on there as well. So
that's brilliant.
And the good thing is as well is that the lads who wear it, the team, they've realised this as well, and quite regularly when it gets worn and we get results, you'll find the lads pointing to the back of the shirt, or in a couple of cases the lads will take it off and show you the back of the shirt.
This is where you get luxury bathrooms. Gunson. Luxury bathrooms.
They're probably getting paid for the advertising more than anything else. The guys will show you the shirt or point to the back, and that's also helped with team just this, to get togetherness the club's had as well over the last couple of years, especially now that we're in the Football League. So it's personally the colours, when I was told about them and I was shown the design, I thought it's a bit, it's a black kit. I think that's been a bit overdone lately, but I wanted it to be a reverse of the home kit, because again, going back to can't have enough brown. Let's have a brown third kit. Let people deal with that.
You get the logical UPS sponsorship then too. It's like it would
exactly
be perfect,
we can open ourselves up to those kind of things. I'm not still 100% sure on the color choice, but it is a nice shirt when you see it up close and the names on the back and stuff. I've got to give it a high score because I know the guy whose idea it was. If he finds out I give it a shit one, he'll kill me.
The threat of physical violence, a big motivator.
Exactly. So I'll give it an 8 out of 10 just because it has, it's sold so well. So it's been a big revenue generator for the club. Wow. And also it's brought, it's been well received by everybody around the club, and the team understand that kind of what the shirt represented. So that has been really good.
That's awesome, man. The story is so good. I love it that you said to the players, take it off and, you know, pointed the name. That's so cool.
And a testament to you, Dan, and a testament to kind of our ignorance. After you've told us the stories behind each of these kits, I feel like I've underrated them a little.
Same.
Bit.
Yeah, same. 100%.
It's okay. I'm just here to make you look bad, chaps.
We usually don't need help, but we appreciate it nonetheless.
But man, you're right, though. Huge missed opportunity to not go brown. It's so close to black. Just make it brown. It would be so cool. I'm with you.
I'm working
on points for that.
I'll be working on him this summer just to make sure. Can we just get a round third kit, for God's sake? Let's get it done. Let's get it over with. 2 years. Let's do it. Come on.
I love it.
My right, Cadbury's, UPS, all of these major money sources await.
All right. So let's wrap up Fashion Police right there. So, Dan, what we do is we have to close out by saying, Sutton United, you're under arrest in uniform. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Sutton United.
You're under arrest.
You're under arrest.
Girl, I don't dance, I work. I don't play, I slay. I don't walk, I strut, 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 and then stash.
All right, there we go. There was Fashion Police. All right, let's get out of that. Let's talk football, kind of, but not really, because my first question has nothing to do with football. The parrot. What's the deal with the parrot on the badge?
It's a popping jay. So it's like a small parrot. And I think it comes... I think it comes from the coat of arms of a local family from around here from many, many, many years ago. It's years since I looked up the history of all that stuff. So, but it's definitely something to do. I think it's the Carew family. I might be wrong though, but many years sort of, because there used to be a lot of, because we're sort of 11 miles out from London, there used to be a lot of stately homes, and Henry VIII built a massive palace over at Nonsuch, which is just the other side of Sutton, and behind actually where I live now, about 2 minute walk away, there's a place called Carew Manor, which used to be the home of the Carew family, and I think it's their coat of arms. I think if you put a popinjay on your coat of arms, it meant you were loaded, it was a status.
Okay.
You put a bird on it.
You had money.
Put a bird on it.
So
as you can.
Okay, well, fair enough. Well, our listeners are huge Sutton United historians, so they will be quick to correct you if that was wrong.
And also bird freaks.
And bird freaks, yeah.
Slash bird freaks.
All right, so let's get into it. Unlike us, who Sham and I, we take ourselves extremely seriously. We take football very seriously, as you can tell by what we're wearing right now.
Yep.
You and your blog do not take yourselves very seriously, and we love that. It's all about the experience more so than the football. It's just a beautiful and funny read, just kind of documenting the joys, the pains, the drunkenness of an away day. And I love that. And as Sham and I, who can't experience this, you know, from the States, it's just I find myself reading your blog sometimes. You know, you play, well, I just read the last one against Carlisle, like teams that have nothing to do with us. It's just a fun read. It's just fun for us to like follow along.
Paint
so anyway,
picture,
if you haven't already, you should, as you like to say on Twitter, you should have yourself a cuppa and read
Definitely.
It for Screen Fans, because it's so good. So I want to ask you, what's been the best away day for you this season?
So I'm trying to remember where we've been actually.
Or the most memorable.
God, trying to think. They've all really blurred into one so far. It's just been non-stop.
That's the drinking. That's good. That means you had a good time.
There's probably that, the loss of memory. But I think it's also because we didn't get to do this last season.
Mm.
And everyone's thrown themselves into it this year, trying to do as many games as we can. I mean, we're trying to make sure that we don't miss one on the blog this year. They have kind of all blurred into one. There's been some really funny days out, even where the football has been crap. I mean, Salford was a great day out because it was just booked at such late notice because we had to swap the games over because our pitch wasn't ready.
Oh, yeah.
So at really short notice, we had to pile up there on the train. That was a great day out. It was really fun. Where else? I know the lads had a great day out in Rochdale. I couldn't go because I was ill. And normally we sort of go around loads of pubs, and they decided to be lazy bastards that they got to one pub in Rochdale and just stayed.
Love it.
And then drank the place, you know, as dry as they could.
I love it.
We actually ended up drinking in there before the Oldham game. We took cabs up to Rochdale to have a beer in Rochdale.
That's awesome.
And we walked in, and the guy behind the bar was like, "Don't I know you?
Yeah, aren't you the parrot guys?
Yeah, you're the guys
the
in
pirates.
A weird-coloured shirt."
Yeah, right.
I love that.
I'd have to actually sit down and have a think, because they've all been great fun. They've all just been as enjoyable as each other, even when we've got crappy results.
Yeah,
I mean, and you've been places like Exeter where we got beat, but we had a brilliant day out. So. Mm.
And I feel like you even went to, like, you know, Papa John's Trophy Tuesday night away games too. Like, you went to all of them, right?
I didn't. I sacked off the group games. I went to Portsmouth away because I was forced to take holiday from work. And I thought, right. And a couple of the guys were going down just on the beer for the day. And I went, yeah, I'll join in. So we went along to that, and it was a bit of fun. But someone from the blog has been at every game this season. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah. I've just booked Wigan away for the semi-final this morning as well.
Do you and the supporters normally take the train, and that's how you do? You like you can do a little bit of drinking on the train and doing it, or is it sometimes a supporters coach? What is it like traveling?
There's a mix. You've got the official supporters bus that goes, but we tend to travel independently, and we have done for years. Just because it's just a bit more flexible. It's more expensive, but it's just a bit more flexible. The coach will get you there sort of half one. And we'll leave generally within 45 minutes of the final whistle. So you're going to spend virtually your entire, especially with some of these northern away games, you'll spend all day on a coach.
Right.
And we don't really want to do that. So
sure.
we get the train everywhere we go. We try and be there for 11, which is sort of traditional pub opening hours.
Mm.
Then we just have a few beers and wander around different pubs. And you just get to see a bit of the town, a bit of the place where you're playing, as well as just rocking up, going into a stadium and leaving. So
yeah, and that's what makes the blog so great, because you paint that picture for folks.
Yeah,
you know, hey, this is what it's like visiting and taking in the surroundings before the actual proceedings, right?
Yeah, and you just, you know, if you're on the beer for a whole day, then it's there's just more scope for idiocy.
Yes.
Just provides material.
It's a great mission statement.
Yep,
to expand the scope for idiocy.
Well, so let's talk football a little bit here. So we opened the season together. It was Maddie Stevens who started the scoring for our season in the first half. And then former FGR man Omar leveled it at 1-1 in the 69th minute. Shout out David Mohabir. And then Ibu Adams saved the day with a stoppage time goal, getting us 3 points. And I have to admit, you know, I was thrilled with the opening day win, but I was disappointed that we barely beat this tiny little non-league club with brown uniforms who just played their first league game. I had absolutely no idea how good you guys actually were. And I don't think anyone did, you know. We are now more than half. So in retrospect, it's a great win. I mean, you're number three in the table. And, you know, it was a tough match, as it should be against a, you know, third place team in the table. But we came in on top, so we should be happy with it. Now, you know, we're more than halfway through the season. I said, you're third in the league. Wow. It's unbelievable. Like, how does that feel? And did any of you expect this?
No, flat out, no. we always knew that we were going to come up, and having kept a lot of last season's side, I don't think anyone really expected us to struggle. We didn't expect to be sort of in the bottom half, but we always thought we'll be more than competitive, we'll be fine, we'll be sort of middling, so anywhere around sort of 10th would have been brilliant. But yeah, it took us a little while to get going. It took us 4 or 5 games to get our first win. But once we did, and in each of those games, like the opening day, we obviously played at yours, and you could see you were going to be a good side, your good attacking side, move the ball really well, really quickly. But you could also see where we weren't overawed, we stuck our task, stayed in the game, and, you know, maybe a little bit unlucky to get beat at the end. But that to ours was kind of like, well, you know, they're supposed to be one of the sides who should be up there. That's not a bad start. And then the games after that, the 4 games after that, we were just saying, yeah, we should at least have a win here. We're just that little bit of luck, or we need to just make sure that we see the 90 minutes out. And once we got the first win, that was it. I think that gave the side finally that, yeah, we deserve to be here. Mm. And we've kicked on. And we just went on that mad run after that. And we're now in a great run of form as well. We expected to be competitive, but I don't think anybody expected to be sort of in the playoffs or in an even touching automatic promotion places.
Yeah,
I mean that alone to us is a bit weird, because in non-league generally you have to win the division to get promoted, to guarantee promotion, and or win the playoffs. So there's only one promotion spot, so that's a bit strange to us as well, being third, and you can move up a division.
Yeah, you guys are just unbelievable, and you're the third. You know, you mentioned we were a great attacking team, but you are too. You're the third best goal scoring team in the league. It must be a fun watch. What is it about this team though? Why are you guys so good? Like, why is this team third right now?
I think this keeping the core of last season's side was a big thing, because obviously there's just the familiarity between the management, players, and the rest of it. Matt's recruited quite well, or really well, with the, you know, he's tried to fill the squad with a couple of guys in it that can play kind of in each position. So he's got a little bit of depth as well, but still with not a massive squad. And he only goes after guys who characters foremost. He doesn't want any egos. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want any dickheads in the team. Because he doesn't want, you know, he wants everybody pulling in the same direction, and he doesn't want any egos or idiots in there screwing things up. So yeah, he's recruited well on that regard as well. And the guys that have come in have slotted in really well with the culture and the togetherness of the team. And yeah, with the way they're set up to prepare, they just work as a unit constantly. They're always pulling for each other, and they never give up. I mean, we had a little run lately where we scored 2 or 3 really late goals to save points or win games. And that's the thing with this lot. They will stay in the game. They will stick at it. Even if they're not playing that well, they know that if they can graft and just stay in touch, that there's always a chance. And if they are a bunch of bastards. You give them a sniff, they'll take it. And wow. And that's what they do. And that, again, that's why the supporters sort of love this group, because they might not be the most spectacular side in the world. We might not play Guardiola ball type stuff, you know, we mix it up, but they don't stop. They just don't stop. They go for 90 minutes, and you know, if we get the result at the end of it, brilliant.
And that's all a supporter ever really wants to see, right? Is their team give it their all and not feel like they're holding anything back. And I'm hearing so many things that make us love our club, FGR, yeah. right? The recruitment.
Keep the core, recruit high quality character guys. That's our strategy too. And
that's why our fans have really, you know, kind of fed it and loved this group of players we have this season. And, you know, we felt like the success is earned, and same for Sutton United, you know, when like the fans are on board and the fans believe in what the club's ethos is and their strategy. It's just awesome to see that, you know, fly and take off. And, you know, I think we're also a little bit flummoxed because it's like, hey, we're supposed to be underdogs. We're like the vegan club. We're the outliers. Everyone thinks we're tin pot. Everyone thinks we're tin pot and can't do anything. And it's like, you guys come along and you're like the underdog now. So it's awesome to see. We love that.
Oh, I love that. And we're rooting for you, man. I think everyone in League 2, I feel like, is rooting for Sutton United. It's such a cool story. It's like, you know, that's the dream. Like, take a little non-league team and then just keep progressing up the league. Yeah, it's awesome.
It is kind of that's what makes the pyramid in this country so special. The fact that you can do what we did. It's getting much harder now because of the size of some of the clubs now in the National League. You got, you know, 6-7 former Football League clubs all scrambling for two spaces and spending fortunes to do it. So it's even harder for clubs of our size to achieve it. It's nice. It's nice to be just to remind everybody that it can still be done. And not only that, it's not just just to get to League 2, but to actually, if you set up well enough, and you know, you put everything into it, that you can then push on. You get momentum and you can push on.
Oh yeah, it's such a cool story. So we play on Saturday. It's actually 2 days after my birthday, and I was thinking, I don't think it's going to happen, but I was thinking of hopping on a flight, coming over for the weekend, just because it seems like the ultimate lower league experience. Like, the ground just looks incredible. It's like everything you fantasize about when you think of like community football, and it's in London, so it's like kind of easy for me to get to because I just fly to London, and then I guess I don't know how you get there. Take a train, I assume. I've been monitoring prices to see if I can steal a cheap flight, fly over Saturday morning, fly back to New York Sunday for the Super Bowl. It just seems like, you know, I don't know. It just seems like the cool, like just such a cool ground, especially for an American, you know, to come and like experience. What is it like at Gander Green Lane? Can you capture the culture for us quickly?
It's ramshackle. It's an old non-league stadium.
Love it.
It is. Yeah. It's a council owned, it's owned by the local authority, the Sutton Council. And it used to be a general purpose. Its official name's the Borough Sports Ground, because it's our area's kind of main, or it was. And it used to have an old cinder running track around it. Mm. So it did everything. It had a football pitch in the middle, the running track, and it had athletics there as well. Just over the years, there's been better facilities built for the athletics, and they kind of left, and we've slowly kind of just, it's, you know, that's that side of it's disappeared. Both ends have been squared off now rather than being oval. It's just very, I think if you went to Sutton and then went to kind of any other real non-league ground, you would see kind of a similar aesthetic, you know, different types of stand and designs, because our main stand's from the 50s, but the terrace on the opposite's from the early 80s, from the mid 80s, and the far Gander Green Lane ends from like the mid 90s, and the away end at the Collingwood Rec end is sort of about 5-6 years old. So it's just that little higgledy-piggledy mix of stands and porta cabins and structures. Yeah. And
I love it.
So yeah, you see the history there too, right? You see the kind of progression a little bit. Yeah,
it's, and I mean, cool. it's and that's all going to be gone in 2 years. It's just going to be completely redeveloped now. The away end is half of it's a building site at the moment. They're putting in new big terrace in and allowed all the seats to bring up to standard, and then they're going to replace the rest of the terracing at that end to make it three times as big, just because at the moment we can only accommodate 500 in the away end, and they want more. So and then if we stay up, which looks almost certain now.
Yes.
Then the recreation side of the ground, that will also be redeveloped completely.
Wow.
So the place, the landscape at Gander Green Lane is going to change. Just out of sight, basically. Like, no one will have seen anything like this.
Wow.
So yeah, it'll cease to be a. It'll still have a little bit of ramshackle nature about it, but a lot of it's going to be brand new from in the next year or two.
I love it. So what's the best bar for traveling fans? And if I happen to steal a flight and hop over, what's the best bar?
If you're going to drink in Sutton, because West Sutton, where the ground is, a bit of a desert now. There used to be a pub over the road, but it just died off. And then they're actually converting it into bloody flats at the moment, which is
strange. Oh, wow.
If you were an away fan and you were maybe doing like a ground hop or something, Sutton High Street, there's 3 or 4 AK pubs in there, which are right by the station. And if you walk down from the top end of the High Street, there's a pub called the Robin Hood Hotel. Or it's just the Robin Hood now. That's where the club was formed, in the meeting room upstairs.
Oh, wow.
There's a little display up in the corner of the pub that we put up a few years ago with one of the old landlords. It's a pricey place, and it's been remodeled loads of times since, but it's that's a nice pub, nice old boozer, proper.
I love it.
Yeah, nice. I'm seeing the mythology now, because it's like, you know, you robbed from the rich cricket players, and now you have this, you know, really great, unique kit.
Yes.
So rich, they didn't pay their bill.
Yeah, they didn't pay their bill. Yeah, that's how it tends to work when you're rich, I think. So.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Last question here. Saturday, what's going to happen? What is your prediction?
It's going to be a tough game, actually. I mean, we were quite looking forward to it, because we thought, you know, it'd be good to measure, having played you guys on the opening day and then had a good run since, just to measure ourselves, because, you know, you guys are on fire at the moment. And then you went up to Tranmere and slapped them around like a nasty nasty stepchild. And we were like, okay, not that.
Yeah.
Please not that.
Yeah. That was supposed to be the big 1-2 matchup, but we came out pretty dumb.
Yeah, we were quite surprised on that, because they're really good at the back. They're a very, very good defensive side. So that was a little bit of an eye opener. I would definitely take a draw, just to keep our little run going. We're unbeaten this year since the turn of the year. So
wow.
Yeah, I'll take a draw. If we can get a draw, that'd be a good. If we can nick a win, brilliant. That would really kick us on.
Go ahead.
I was going to say the real, okay, that was the last question, but here's the real last question, Dan. Cladding, decking, moldings, plumbing, every type of guttering.
Angel Plastics, of course.
Yes, but you know the next line?
I try not to, because then once it's in there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pipes, that's when you pipes, get a nice big gulp. When the jingle comes on, that's when the chugging begins.
Oh, what a song. That's the best. You gave us the best gift ever, because we are going to play that song nonstop. It might just be an ad in every single episode from now on. It's so good. Well, Dan, thank you so much, man. Thank you for hanging out with us. Yeah. Thank you for... man, we learned so much about Sutton United.
We did. But one quick thing, Dan. Yeah. I know Nathan said he's going to try to sneak in, because he just wants the National League football experience. But for me... get the San Chaba United Day going. Rename Gander Green Lane, Gambia Green Lane, and I'm there. Oh. And I'm there.
Yes.
I hope that we can that the guys in the Gambia can get the side going again, because it would be good to have get that link up going again, because they've been over a couple of times and we've met a few of them, and they're really nice people. It's just that the money for their sport's so tight over there, and we were living hand to mouth at the time. So. Mm. You know, the lads would throw in a few quid and have a little collection for them, but it wasn't anything much. But it'd be nice to get, if we could get a little, now we're a football league club, get a little bit of a link going again.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. Well, Dan, thank you so much, man. Best of luck this season. I hope you go up to League One with us. Worst of luck on Saturday, though. I hope your unbeaten streak ends. Everyone out there, follow Dan at the Gandermonium on Twitter. Go check out the Gandermonium blog. It's such a good read for anyone who enjoys an away day. It's so good. Anyway, Dan, thank you so much for hanging out with us, man.
Thanks, anytime, Dan. Chaps. Anytime.
Cheers.
Cheers, man.
See ya.
All right, Shimmy. Thank you for Dan the Man from Gandermonium Land for coming on the pod.
Dan was amazing.
You,
yeah, he educated us so much about the history of the club, upped our respect for the underdog. We thought we were underdogs, but man, Sutton United doing the dang thing. Just love to see it. And I love that you call them Dandermonium, because now I have a name for the insane sneezing fits I have once I'm around our two cats. It's Dandermonium up in our apartment, and that was perfect. So, but Dan, man, great guy, and great blog too. Make sure you check out Gandermonium. Such a great.
It is. It's so fun. It's so fun to read. And you know, well, actually, we're all Sutton United fans, but even as like you know, not a Sutton United support follower, it's just fun to read. It's like great. He takes us on a journey to all these away days that, like, as an American, you know, we can't experience, and. Through Dan, we kind of can. It's so fun. Anyway, all right. So, Shimmy Cakes, let's get out of here, Shimmy. Let's close out. Oh, we didn't give a score prediction for
Sutton. Sutton United.
Sutton. So, what do you got for Gabriel Sutton United?
I got us rolling on, man. I think we're going to win this one 3-1.
I like that. You finally gave us a few more.
Yeah.
I think we'll... Okay, we'll finally concede. This is a great attack. The third best attack in League 2. So, I'm with you there. They'll get a goal. A cheap goal somehow. No fault of Luke McGee. No fault of James.
Carrying on the great tradition of cheapness from Sutton United and their shirt procurement.
Yes. All right. Cheap goal from Sutton United. So one goal to them. Five goals back to us, though. We're going to get three from Don Bernard. We're going to get one from Matty Stevens, one from Jamma. Boom. Take it to the bank. So there you have it, folks. Two more wins coming this week. Take it to the bank. Bet all your money on it. Shimmy, let's get out of here. Let's get out of here, my friend.
Gotta go. And you know we gotta... first of all, I should say, up the Vegan Rovers. We are
up
FGR.
Up the Vegan Rovers.
Man, it's...
We are FGR.
It's like we keep saying it. It's like we don't even need to say it. We keep going up and up, you know, the thing. But we gotta say it. Up these Vegan Rovers, making us proud week in and week out. And you know we gotta...
Raise baby. Thank you all. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for hanging out with us two idiots. We love you. Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks,
see you
everybody.
Next week.
Bye.